From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, it has been a week since the election, but votes are still being counted in some states like Florida. At present, Rick Scott is slightly ahead of incumbent Bill Nelson in the Florida Senate race. You have to ask, what's going on? Is it fraud? Is it incompetence? Ken Blackwell, former Ohio Secretary of State, which was responsible for counting the votes in the Buckeye State, will give us his thoughts in just a moment. Also, while the number of children waiting for adoption is at a near record high, the incoming governor of Kansas wants to apparently raise the number even higher by circumventing a duly enacted law that ensures faith-based adoption agencies can continue to place children in homes in accordance with their beliefs. The law's lead sponsor in the Kansas legislature, State Representative Susan Humphreys, will join me with the latest. And in the irony of irony column, the school board in Fairfax, Virginia, which has embraced the gender-confused bathroom policy, recently announced a workshop for parents entitled Jack's Brain, Jill's Brain, Gender Differences and Why They Matter, end quote. Now, the workshop will feature child psychologist discussing how girls and boys learn differently. Wait, they're different? They're different, but they're not. Kathy Roos, a senior fellow of legal studies at the Family Research Council, helps us sort it all out, I think. That's coming up, as well as your phone calls a little later here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, deja vu. Another election has passed, and Florida is yet again in the news for voter controversy, with allegations of voter fraud, mishandling of ballots, and calls for recounts. The election year and candidates have changed, but the names behind the suspicions have not. It all goes down to Broward County and Brenda Snipes. With us now is Ken Blackwell, former Cincinnati mayor and Ohio Secretary of State, and now serves as FRC Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you, sir.
You've been busy the last few days. I've seen you everywhere in the media talking about this election controversy because you know a little bit about how elections are supposed to operate.
Well, as Yogi Berra used to say, it's deja vu all over again. It's just unbelievable that if this would come down to a recount and the bungled election in Florida was not a matter of widespread incompetence, but in a couple of counties, most notably Broward County in Florida. It's a shame. And in general, we have to be concerned about the potential theft of an election. And my view is that a theft of an election should not be allowed to hide behind the veil of chronic incompetence. Mm-hmm. And that's very important for us to understand, because as you and I have talked about it on a number of occasions, when it comes to rearing children, that old saying that if you reward bad behavior, all you're going to get is more bad behavior, applies to other facets of life. You know, this is a county. This is a supervisor with a long history of election irregularities and incompetency.
Yeah, just this has been the epicenter of problems before. We go back to 2000 in 2003, where the system was broken. Brenda Snipes, who is there now, was appointed in 2003 to fix the office that was just beset with problems. But it's continued since then. 2004, the presidential election, there were issues there. I want to ask you, Ken, and I know you wear a lot of different hats, but you've traveled mm-hmm. literally around the world to supervise elections. You've done mm-hmm. this stuff for a long time. I want you to put on your election, your nonpartisan election hat for just a moment, and mm-hmm. and answer the question: do you think there's enough evidence here to suggest that it's beyond incompetence that we actually see efforts by some. I'm not saying Brenda Snipes. I'm just saying it could be on anybody's behalf. Efforts to throw this election.
Well, look, there is a legal trail. There are court cases now that have established that she destroyed ballots before the date that they could legally be destroyed in the past. She and her staff have consistently missed deadlines. And most importantly, there have been a series of violations of common sense transparency standards, where it is so important that in a political election that you allow both sides to eyeball and shine light on the vote counting process. She, through her own omission, has in fact not allowed that sort of transparency. So, look, is there any tangible evidence of fraud? There's tangible evidence of a lack of transparency, a history of malfeasance and incompetence, which opens the door to distrust in the outcome of the vote count. So I think that there is every bit the evidence that there is opportunity for shenanigans.
There's smoke.
Yeah, that's right. There is smoke.
Okay. Ultimately, Ken, I mean, as the Secretary of State in Ohio, you actually had a very controversial election where, you know, Ohio was a pivotal state, and you had to make sure the ballots were counted and they were done. It was done right. Ultimately, who has the responsibility to ensure a fair process in the state of Florida?
Well, it is the Secretary of State and his associate election administrators, of which in this case Brenda Snipes is one. You have the Attorney General to make sure that the laws of the land, of the state and the country are followed, and you have the Attorney General. All of these statewide officials have the overarching responsibility to protect the integrity of elections in Florida. Tony, free and fair elections are only possible where the rule of law prevails. When there is a disregard, an open disregard for orderly procedure, when there is a trashing of the rule of law and a lack of transparency, you have to put all of the forces that are responsible for protecting the integrity of those elections into play. And I think that that's what one of the things that we will get in Florida.
Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. A little bit later, we'll be taking your phone calls. Ken Blackwell is my guest, former Secretary of State of Ohio, former mayor of Cincinnati, also senior fellow at the Family Research Council, but has been a monitor of elections literally around the globe. Ken, obviously 2000 was a pretty significant year when it came to Florida, where the balance determined the outcome in the presidential race. But there's a lot riding on the outcome this time in Florida. I mean, we've got a very close Senate race. You know, you've got a state that is pivotal in elections. I mean, at what point are people going to say enough is enough?
Well, again, I think, and again, you and I have been in conversations concerning this, and we go to Scripture. As I've said to you and on a number of occasions, and you've said to groups, you know, where there is darkness, folks will do evil. And we have a special obligation to shine the, you know, our individual lights and our collective lights on this process. And so citizen engagement, we can't cut and run. We can't throw up our hands and give up, or, in fact, those who would do wrong, those who would, in fact, violate any sense of a rule of law and orderly process will prevail. So we must engage and we must demand transparency, and we must basically say that rules count. And those folks who have a consistent pattern of violating those rules, or who have exhibited a chronic case of incompetence, they have to go. And baseball is three strikes, you're out. In many aspects of our judicial system, three strikes, you're out. There's nothing more important than the integrity of our elections, and where there is gross and chronic incompetence, and when there has been a disrespect for transparency and an omission of violations of the law and procedures governing elections, there has to be a change in personnel.
Ken, before I let you go, there's been some other very close races around the country, which it took them a while to. In fact, there's still some races in California, congressional races. They're still counting some of the ballots out there. Any other place in the country that you have seen that raises questions about the integrity of the process and whether or not fraud may have been involved?
Well, you go back to a race in Minnesota with Al Franken and the fact that there were questionable ballots that were counted and a very, very narrow victory. Transparency is so important. And so elections and election administration, election administration is a human enterprise. It is not perfect, and because it is not perfect, it takes extensive vigilance and engagement by everyday, ordinary, hardworking citizens to safeguard that which makes us different than any other country in the history of the world, and that is our respect for the rule of law, our embrace of divine order, and most importantly, that we understand that, it's a government in and of and by the people, and that makes elections very, very important.
Well said. Ken Blackwell, as always, great to have you on the program. Look forward to talking with you soon.
All right, Tony.
All right. Ken Blackwell, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council. Look, and one of the things that we should underscore is that your vote counts. Some of these elections so close. If there was ever a time when your vote mattered, it's now. So make sure you vote in every election. It is your right as an American and your responsibility as a Christian. All right, coming up next, the Kansas governor-elect, Laura Kelly, wants to ignore a law that was passed by the legislature, signed into effect, that protects faith-based adoption agencies, allowing them to continue to place children into homes in accordance with their faith. We're going to talk to the lead sponsor of that bill, State Representative Susan Humphreys, when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Tony Perkins here, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to protecting your religious freedom, standing for family values, and defending the sanctity of human life. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our values bus. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for more information. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch. The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. A little bit later, we'll be taking your phone calls on this Tuesday afternoon. In September, at the Values Voters Summit, we honored Kansas State Representative Susan Humphreys with the Samuel Adams Award. It's kind of special to me. Samuel Adams, one of my favorite patriots. He was kind of the last of the great Puritans and what they, by his contemporaries, described as the father of the Revolution. He knew how to integrate his faith with his public stand. An amazing guy. You don't read much about him, but there's a few biographies out there. Anyway, I digress here. Anyway, that's our award for a state legislator who really stands head and shoulders above the others. And Susan Humphreys led an initiative in Kansas to protect faith-based adoption agencies. What has been happening is we see this, the kind of the LGBTQ groups trying to force faith-based adoption agencies out of business because if either they have to conform or they're gone. And this just simply says they can operate according to their faith. There can be other entities that see marriage as the union of two people of whatever configuration, but those that see marriage as the union of a man and woman and want to place children in intact homes like that, they're free to do so, to operate according to their faith. That passed, signed into law, but now the newly elected Kansas governor, Laura Kelly, says she'll do whatever she can to avoid enforcing this law. Joining me now is the lead sponsor of the Adoption Protection Act and the recipient of the Samuel Adams Award, Susan Humphreys. Susan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's really good to be with you. I'm humbled by your introduction. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know that you were very particular in the law. You had a lot of help in passing it, and this is pretty tightly worded. Is the governor going to be able to pull a Barack Obama and simply go lawless on us and refuse to enforce the law?
Well, we certainly pray not. And we did write the law and check and double check. We used some other examples from other states, and we think it is very tightly worded. What she said in her press conference last Thursday was that they're going to look into doing everything they can so that they don't have to enforce it. they also happen to know, well, there's other laws on the books that we don't enforce. So I don't know, but I do know after that press conference, there was a group of people that jumped into action immediately just to say, we're going to be there for you, national organizations. We're looking into this also. You know, we are ready to do battle here.
So, Susan, what are the implications if the governor refuses to abide by this law?
Tony, as we've seen in other states, they lose child placing agencies if the state insists that they place people that are that don't go along, or people that don't, if they can't act according to their faith, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And so some agencies will say, well, we can't operate under that, and so we will close instead. And that's happened all over the country. So we were proactive in Kansas to put that into place so we keep as many child placing agencies as possible. So it's a radical agenda that seems to really not have the best interest of Kansas children at heart.
So the implication here is if you have fewer adoption agencies working to place children in their homes, and in my intro I mentioned that there was a report out from Washington just, I think, yesterday, that the number of children needing to be placed in homes is at a near record high. So if you have fewer agencies able to place children, that means it's going to be harder for these children to find homes.
Absolutely. And it's not just adoption. It's also foster care. I think there are record numbers of foster children around the country. Certainly in Kansas, it's the record number we have right now. So we need as many agencies to stay in business as possible.
Now, just to be very clear on this law, this does not prohibit anyone from participating in adoption or foster care. So those that have a different worldview, they're free to be involved in adoption. It just says that people that have a faith-based view can participate too.
Absolutely. It is a protection for the faith-based agencies. But a non-traditional couple, there has many options in Kansas where they can foster or where they could adopt. It doesn't keep them from that at all.
Susan, you touched on something I want to go back to for just a moment, and that's the purpose about foster care and adoption. It's not about the desires of the adults and the affirmation of their configuration of their home, but rather it's the needs of the children.
Absolutely. And we're seeing with different things that are going on, drugs and different things in the country, there's more children than ever that need it.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're concerned about.
That's actually, people don't really realize that, but it's also a byproduct of the opioid crisis. We're seeing more and more children being placed in foster homes. And if anything, faith-based entities that have that orientation that would place these kids that are coming out of a traumatic situation into a loving Christian home, they ought to have the right to do that and the ability to do that.
Absolutely. And, Tony, the faith-based agencies are the ones who are really taking the hard-to-place children. And as we know, that the couples full of faith, they're the ones that are willing to take on those children that come from hard places. We really don't want to lose those groups.
Well, we will be standing with you, and I know there'll be a lot of others helping to ensure that the law that you work to pass not only remains in place, which it's hard for legislatures to undo laws, but as we've seen, there are chief executives who will go lawless on us and refuse to enforce them. Susan, thanks so much for joining us.
And prayers appreciated. Thank you very much.
All right. Susan Humphreys, state representative there in the state of Kansas. This, if there was ever a time when you could see the contrast between the people advanced by the two parties, I mean, the contrast could not be clearer. It really couldn't. All right, coming up next, Fairfax County School District is admitting that the brains of boys and girls are different. But apparently that doesn't apply to the bathroom. Kathy Roos, Senior Fellow for Legal Studies here at the Family Research Council, is with us when we return. Don't go away. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, as I said, in the irony of irony columns, the school board in Fairfax, Virginia, which we've talked about before, they have embraced the gender-confused bathroom policy, where, you know, they basically said biology doesn't matter, but, you know, sex is assigned at birth. So it's very fluid. Well, they announced recently a workshop for parents entitled Jack's Brain, Jill's Brain, Gender Differences and Why They Matter. Now, the workshop was to feature child psychologists discussing how girls and boys learn differently. Wait a minute. I didn't think they were different. Well, Kathy Roos picked up on this in her latest column. School board says boys and girls have different brains, except in the bathroom. It was recently published in the stream. Kathy, is all this just over my head, or does the rationalizing of the Fairfax County School Board require some mental hoop jumping?
Lots of mental hoop jumping, Tony. It's just, you can't keep the farce going. Like, if you take a break from keeping this little pretend world they have going and you slip, you're gonna get back to reality, and you're gonna make a mistake, like announcing a parent workshop that talks about how research shows that the brains of females and males are developmentally, structurally, and functionally different. That's, I'm quoting their parent workshop notice.
Which you can't see can be different, but the biology and everything that comes with it, you can see and clearly tell. This is crazy.
We're in fantasy land. Yes, it's absolutely fantasy land. You can't trust your lying eyes. You know, like when a boy steps into a girl's bathroom, you have to pretend that there's nothing different about this biological boy. You know, and it's just ridiculous, and they're hypocrites, and we caught them in it. And it's kind of fun to expose this, because they are lying to kids and they're lying to parents. Actually, they're telling the truth to parents in this upcoming workshop, but they're lying to kids, and they have charge of It's the 10th largest school district in the country. It's a bellwether school. We already have them on record. They admitted to the Washington Post, a group called GLSEN, which is a LGBT school-based activist group, admitted that Northern Virginia and California are their laboratories for testing this junk on kids. And so this is fantasy land, but they forgot their fantasy for a minute and they stumbled onto some truth. I just wonder if they're going to cancel the seminar. It's coming up in a few days. We'll see.
Well, have they responded to being called out for this?
No. You know, I wrote to the school board superintendent a couple of weeks ago when there was another little trip up like this, something about discipline and how boys and girls, how parents, something about aiding, peer pressure, how parents can help boys and girls respond to peer pressure and how boys and girls need different interventions. And I wrote to the superintendent, I'm like, wait a minute. They're not different. You're telling us biological sex is meaningless. That's what you're teaching kids. You're teaching kids that be the opposite sex or in another other kind of sex. And yet you try to give this guidance, which sounds sensible to parents, about peer pressure. You know, it's like, which is it? And he did respond to me eventually. And it was just, you know, it was an empty response because there is no response. They're lying to the children. And we're paying them lots and lots of our tax dollars to do it. And they're not the only school district that's doing this. Lots of school districts in the country, unfortunately, tragically, are going down this road.
Kathy Roos, is it the bottom line is that when these issues intersect with abortion or sexuality, that's where we throw common sense and science out the window?
Well, yes, that is where it happens. I mean, it happens. I mean, they play politics with history too, of course, the public schools do, but it's this area where they have just absolutely no tolerance for people who believe in the Bible, who believe in biblically based truths, who believe in natural law, and who believe in science, just unadorned science. They are pursuing this like militantly. And right. When parents try to say, you know, this is not right, they mock parents, they deride parents. It's really, they're against parents, and they are trying to indoctrinate children into it's leftist politics, but it comes in the form of this sex I mean, I often call it sex politics. It's sex politics, and they like to play it on kids. And so they are bullies, and they talk about, you know, helping kids not be bullied. Well, they're the bullies.
Kathy, can you hold on? Because on the other side of the break, we're going to go to the phones here in just a moment. But I want to ask you one more question because
yeah.
I think so many parents are beginning to see this crop up. I know that Fairfax County, as you said, GLSEN says they're kind of a pilot. They want to spread stuff across the country from there. What do parents do when they begin to see this in their school with their kids? What options are there for parents? I'm going to talk about that next when we come back. And folks, we're going to go to the phone lines here in just a little bit. And I mean, this is just crazy. But what do you see happening in your school? Where your kids are. Is it time to stand up to these things? We're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch still to come.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, Kathy Roos, my guest, we're talking with her about the irony of the Fairfax County School Board. They're the one of the ones that embrace this gender-neutral, what I call gender-confused bathroom policies. And they were, as Kathy described, militant about it. But now they're having a workshop for parents talking about how boys and girls, how they learn differently. It's hard to be consistent when you are operating and working with a lie. It works so much better when you tell the truth. Kathy, I want to, before I go to the phone lines, by the way, folks, 866-372-7234. We were talking about elections today. We're talking about the faith-based adoptions, talking about these crazy policies in our schools. We can talk about any of those things. So 866-372-7234. Kathy, what can parents do that find these types of asinine policies being promoted in their schools?
Well, they can run for school board. I mean, they've got to get involved. We just can't let these crazy people run the public school system. I mean, that's why so many families are feeling like that they need to rescue their children and pull them out of public schools. But we cannot abandon the public schools to this kind of stuff. So you've got to get involved. You got to run for, I mean, in Fairfax next year, the whole slate of school board members are up for re-election. But there have been some.
Are you making an announcement here today?
Tony, they would never let me get out of the gate. Yeah, right? No, I'm not running for school board, but I'm going to help some good people run for school board if I can.
And I'm not running for president either, so I just want to make that clear.
Good, yes. But we've seen some, I mean, all of these school boards across the country that are doing this, they're bullies. And what do bullies want? Bullies believe they can push people around, and they don't expect to get pushed back. But in Indiana, they started pushing back, and they started getting the policies changed in their state so that now the school board has to ask parents twice in writing about their radical sex ed program. So that's progress. It doesn't go as far as we'd like it, but it at least is progress. In Georgia, a band of just great local citizens stopped a drag queen story hour in their local library. That's a national effort that I'm sure you've talked about, I think we've talked about, but so just some good mom and pop, local, sweet people just said, we're not going to tolerate this. And they stopped it. And then in Colorado, the Thomas More Law Society is helping parents out there fight their school system because they've got radical, inappropriate, fake science sex ed on a database for students, and they won't let the parents see. They won't let their own parents have access to the computer database that they're using to teach these kids. And so they're getting sued. So, I mean, we just have to push back in every way we can. And Activist Mommy is sort of my hero. You know, Elizabeth Johnson, I know you've had her on many times. She's such an inspiration. She just, you know, not on my watch. She's just not going to let this happen. And if anybody wants to be inspired, she's got a lot of success stories on her webpage or on her blog. So Activist Mommy.
It's just a matter of being vigilant and then being involved and knowing and not being afraid to stand up and speak truth. Kathy, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you being here today. And an insightful piece on the stream shows the hypocrisy of the left. I'll encourage people to take a look at it.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
All right. Kathy Ruth, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council. You can read her piece. Go to TonyPerkins.com. And to her point, before I go to the phones here, absolutely correct on the point of I don't think we should sacrifice our children on the altar of political correctness in the schools. If you've got a school that is going south, by all means, do something to get your kids out. But I do not think we should abandon the public schools. Absolutely do not. What do I mean by that? I mean that, and I'm speaking to the church community. I'm speaking to pastors. I'm speaking to Christians. I believe that God has callings for our lives. He calls us, leads us into things to serve others. And I think teaching is a great profession. And I think it's a great place in the public schools for Christian teachers to go. And I think churches should look at those teachers as missionaries going into a very dark and often hostile environment. And we should pray for them. We should encourage them. We should strengthen them. But that does not mean that we have to put our kids there when the material that's being pumped into them is an indoctrination to turn them away from their parents, drive a wedge between them and their parents, and turn them away from the truth. Homeschooling is an option. Private schools. There's so many options out there, especially with technology today and online learning. But public education, we cannot abandon it from a standpoint of just letting it go because too many children are led astray by what is happening in public education. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Derek in Richmond, Virginia. Derek, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Great to be on with you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, I graduated from Fairfax County Schools back in 1988, and at the time I got a fine education from them. But my brother, who is just 3 years younger, I already saw the decline start. And it just makes me sad the direction that they've gone now. And even though we're no longer in Fairfax County, I hate to see the way that they're going. And we homeschooled our children.
You know, avoid
all that mess.
Fairfax is a very affluent community, and they've had, they really had a lot going for them. But this is an example of how public education, a prime example of how public education has been hijacked by the left and used to push an agenda that's not about education.
Yeah, it's just liberal indoctrination, and the people coming out of those schools today, even though they've got a diploma, they are not ready to face the real world.
True. They don't have time. It's just kind of like our military. In the last 8 years, we have a lot of issues with our military because we weren't teaching them on basic war fighting, and we were spending too much time on all of the social indoctrination that the Obama administration wanted to push. That's why we had ships running aground, running into each other, and all kinds of other crazy stuff, surrendering to the Iranians. Derek, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch and calling in. Let's go to Texas, where Roger is on the line. Roger, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you doing, Tony?
I'm fine. Thanks. How are you today?
I'm good. I just wanted to say, you know, my wife and I had two girls, and they're grown and married, and we've got two grandsons. And, you know, when we were raising our girls, they were, it's just a difference of night and day between girls and boys, because we got our grandsons, and, you know, it's just different.
Yes, it is.
They think different. They play different. And you don't have to, you really just don't have to do much, but just watch, and they are just totally different.
Yep. You don't have to have any kind of advanced degree in science to figure that one out. I mean, I've got two boys and three girls, and they are different. They're all unique. They're all created, you know, uniquely by God. But there is a clear difference. There's a clear difference between the boys and the girls. And, you know, I'll stop there. They're all a blessing in their own way in how God has shaped them. And as a parent, our role is to, all right, number one, acknowledge how God created them. He created them male and female. We recognize that.
Right.
But then beyond that, it gets a little more challenging as to how God has gifted them, how he has equipped them, and then how we can come alongside God, and I'm still learning this process, come alongside him and what he's doing in their life, and as a parent, assist in that process. And that's why parents are so important in the education and training of their children, because public schools are not going to do that. And they're not really supposed to. So that's not a slap at the schools. It's just, and I had some great teachers and a few mentors, and they were great, and I'm so grateful for them. But nothing can replace the role of a parent and a grandparent in the lives of their children and grandchildren, in helping them discover all that God created them to be. And I'm afraid that so often parents have kind of stepped back too much, and they think that the schools can provide this through education, and it can't. You've got to have the active involvement of parents. Roger, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch, and have fun with those grandsons. All right, Bruce, let's go to Bruce in Kansas. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for getting me on, and I appreciate everything you do. I was listening earlier, and the lady talking as far as the Fairfax County and the gender confusion going on, and it hit me that the next illogical extension is the workshop is going to show that boys and girls think differently. The illogical extension is that since this boy thinks like a girl, then he must be a she trapped in a male body. So we're proving the confusion by bizarre illogical conclusions and assumptions.
That might be how they cover their tracks. Good point. That may be like a cat in a litter box. That might be how they cover it up. Bruce, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. All right, let's go to Nebraska, where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking my call, and I sure appreciate what you and Washington Watch is doing for in America. I appreciate it. Hey, I was going to say the representative from Kansas you were talking to, I don't think she was taking as strong of a position as we need to take on these issues, because I think the whole transgender ideology and what's being forced on kids is just satanic. I mean, it's an evil thing that we need to just completely stand up against. I don't know if I was understanding it right, but she was saying, you know, it's kind of like, well, maybe faith-based agencies that do adoptions, you know, they can run according to their convictions, but, you know, you can refer gay couples to other agencies that will adopt children. But I think, you know, again, if we're doing what's best for children, it's a man and a woman, a husband and wife, and that's what we should be advocating, and not backing away from that, or like saying, you know, alternative configurations of marriage. I don't think that's the position we should take.
I agree with your point, Lance. The problem is, and from her perspective, and in fact, not just her perspective, but with the court's redefinition of marriage, it's become very difficult, if not impossible, to uphold that standard because the courts basically have cut legislators off at the knees. This is why the battle for the court is so important. The court is really the one that has set the stage for so much of this nonsense by their redefinition of marriage. And, you know, to the point that, you know, the advocates of this redefinition say, oh, look, this isn't going to affect you. It's how can my relationship with my partner and my ability to marry them affect you? Well, Lance, you just pointed out how it's affecting a lot of innocent children who are being, in some cases, thrust into environments that we know are going to be unhealthy from an emotional and a spiritual standpoint.
One other thing, I think then, you know, there's a difference, obviously, between the church and the state, but certainly as believers and as a church, we can't back away from, okay, God's standard regardless of the consequences. I mean, that would be my position on that.
Yeah. Well, and defending, you know, I we're on the same page. What Susan is doing, what legislators are doing, is that the pendulum had gone so far to where these organizations that are advocating for what you are describing were being excluded from the process. They were saying you have no right to operate because you have this viewpoint of marriage as being a union of a man and a woman. And Lance, that's why it's so important that Christians that understand truth, that this truth is not malleable, that it is everlasting, that we defend it both in our votes, in what we advocate for, and what we do. It's extremely critical. Lance, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. And folks, this is what elections do. This is the consequences of elections. And we are in such a divided country. I was having a conversation with a very prominent pastor this afternoon, and we were discussing about how, you know, our republic hangs in the balance. I mean, we're like a car with two wheels over the cliff. And just one wrong move in an election, we could lose it. We've got to be informed. We've got to be engaged. And we have to be standing for truth, not just with our votes, but with our voice and with our actions. It's critical. We cannot shrink back from the truth, even if there are those who oppose it and oppose it violently. We must not shrink back. Folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but we'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.